KUOW podcasts are made possible by listener support. Become a new or renewing member today at KUOW.org.
From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Rich Barton and Nick Hanauer are two of our most prominent entrepreneurs, investors, and activists. Nick Hanauer was the first non-family investor in Amazon. He's currently a venture capitalist with Second Avenue Partners. They've invested in Newsvine, and he's a major donor to the Democratic Party. And he's involved in a variety of causes, including the League of Education Voters, which he co-founded. Rich Barton is a former Microsoft executive, founder of the travel website Expedia and real estate site Zillow. His Barton Family Foundation supports causes including animal rights, reforestation, and economic independence for villagers in Africa. Thanks to both of you for stopping by. I appreciate it.
Super fun to be here.
So a lot of your work is involved in disruption, and I want to kind of get to that. But I want to get a little bit of your personal history and a little bit of your comments about what's going on in politics right now. The fiscal cliff is being called a big disruptor in national politics. You guys look at the economic landscape, I'm sure, when you're thinking about investments. Is it important to you? Are you thinking about the fiscal lift? What did it work?
Hopefully there's going to be a lift, Ross.
Rich?
You know, personally, I don't spend any time thinking about the fiscal cliff. I think that's one of those things that is a short-term oriented thing. I think people love to be scared and love to be excited about things that are happening in the short term. I try to spend most of my time thinking about the long term and how I can be spending my time and resources on building things that make things better in the long term, honestly. But Nick, on the other hand, is fairly involved, is way more involved politically than I am, and is actually quite active in behind the scenes in this debate right now.
So what are you thinking with the fiscal cliff approach?
Well, I think the fiscal cliff, first of all, it's not a cliff, it's a slope, if it's anything. But I think it represents a really important opportunity to litigate competing ideas about where prosperity comes from. And, you know, we live in a society which is dominated by this economic sort of trickle-down orthodoxy that if you make rich people richer and, by extension, middle class or poor people poorer, that's the secret to growth. And that's how you get the Ryan budget, and that's how you get this logic where if we simply keep taxes rates low for people like Rich and I and cut services for middle class and poor people, things will get better. And of course, if there was a shred of truth to that at all, we would be in much better shape than we are today. The other way to look at it, what the president is talking about, is middle out economics, the idea that if you invest in the middle, you create a virtuous cycle of increasing returns for everybody. And that's what all of these arguments are about. Mm-hmm. And I think it's an extraordinarily important argument to have. Obviously, I feel strongly that it needs to be resolved in one way. But
Nick Hanauer. By the way, Nick Hanauer and Rich Barton and my producer, Arwin Nix, are furiously taking photos. So if you'd like to see what this looked like, check out our respective Twitter feeds, KOW Convo, et cetera.
We're trying to figure out desperately how to do a photo to Twitter on the mobile app. Anybody who knows, call in, please.
Yes, 206-543-5869 if you know how to put a photo onto Twitter. You guys have had really interesting careers, and I'm kind of interested in how you got there. Nick, like me, you graduated with a philosophy degree from the University of Washington. How did that – was that helpful at all to where you are today?
It was, in the sense that, you know, philosophy is basically a discipline which teaches you how to think and analyze complicated problems. And, you know, as entrepreneurs, that's what we're constantly doing. And, you know, Rich and I share a passion for disruption, for looking at a circumstance or a problem and finding a profoundly new or transformational way of fixing it or rearranging the pieces. And I do think that sort of ability to reflect deeply and take things apart and put them back together is very, very helpful in that respect. And, you know, Rich has the same kind of mind that I do, and we've connected both personally and professionally, you know, along those lines.
Well, and this is kind of a core value of capitalism, right? Creative destruction.
Yes. Let's call it creative disruption.
There you go.
You know, I think right. Destruction has lots of negative connotations. And I think the kinds of things that Nick and I have companies we've created or helped create, and the stuff that we do in politics and in philanthropy really is about empowering people through disruption, through creative disruption. It's not about destroying the old as much as it is about empowering people to take control of their lives. And it just so happens that these great, these magic electronic tools that we have now, these smartphones that we all have in our pockets that are connected to this magic cloud all the time, they empower us in ways to access information that heretofore had been guarded and protected by governments or people in suits or what have you. And now you can, you know, do something as mundane as buy an airline ticket or book a hotel room, like you can do it at Expedia, mm-hmm. which is a company that I founded. Zillow is another company I founded and I'm chairman of, where you can access this incredible world of real estate information now at your fingertips on your smartphones, information you didn't have before. And now the consumers are empowered to make better decisions and be smarter.
Rich, give me an example of how looking at disruption and finding the opportunities has been something you've done kind of outside the business world, because you've done a lot of things outside the business world, too.
I have. I've done a lot of things outside the business world. I'll thank Nick. We're good friends outside of this studio as well. And Nick has pulled me into politics, and I'm really appreciative of that and thank him for that. He actually pulled me into this latest vote on the charter schools that happened in this latest election, mm-hmm. And we won. It was a great one, early experience into politics. And there is a prime example right there of creative disruption. Introducing some competition into the public schooling system should raise the tide. It should raise the level of performance for everyone.
Right. That's a very – yeah. And charter schools are a disruptive idea. And as a consequence, they are viciously opposed by people that have a huge stake in the status quo. And, you know, I've spent basically my whole adult life advocating for public education and doing things, you know, on funding and stuff like that. But boy, when you start to disrupt the status quo, it's funny how your old friends become your enemies so quickly.
How did you two start working together?
Well, we Seattle's a small place, and we, believe it or not, we both ski at Whistler, we had children at almost exactly the same time. We had our sons about 6 months apart, and we started socializing, frankly, in Whistler, where we both have places. And our wives became best friends, and our children became best friends, and we became best friends. And we have been hanging out and collaborating ever since. Before that, frankly, but you know, so we do everything together. So.
Well, collaborating and partnerships kind of involve putting together the best of the strengths and covering the weaknesses.
Absolutely.
Like, how do you work together, Rich?
You know, we have similar ways of thinking, slightly different ways of communicating, but the same. We bring the same kind of energy and a kind of creative disruptor mentality to everything we look at. We appreciate looking at things from distance. And looking at the big picture and looking for opportunities on how things can be changed for the better. There's an example of a company that Nick took the lead on that we're both involved in called Qliance here.
I was just going to ask you about that. Yeah. This is a healthcare company.
It is.
Explain what they do.
Well, I'll let Nick do it.
Yeah, so Qliance is basically, is a healthcare company that instantiates essentially the idea that
instantiates. I don't know what that means.
It's a representation of the idea that for as long as humans have had commerce, the best strategy available to reduce costs and increase quality is cutting out the middleman. And what Qliance is simply a way to pay your doctor directly to take care of you, rather than an insurance company to pay a doctor to take care of you. And as such, it's terrifically disruptive, because by doing that, you can deliver infinitely better quality care to people at a much lower price.
Now, is the disruption of Qliance keying off the disruption brought about by the Affordable Care Act?
Not at all.
Completely
no.
different.
I mean, I think Qliance will benefit from the disruption of the Affordable Care Act, but we did it before and it would work with or without. But the other thing I think that Rich and I share is a love for risk. Very few people like to take risks like we do, and it drives, you know, Our wives are very, very patient. Let me just put it to you that way. You know, we love to put ourselves in these sorts of situations.
Now, it's not a risk without failure. Everybody knows about the things you've succeeded on. How about some clues into failures and what you learned from them, Rich?
Guys like us don't remember failures. I mean, quite literally, it is a common characteristic.
Right.
You put them out of your mind.
We repress those things.
Of an adventure, of an entrepreneur, that you really don't linger on it. You know,
but isn't there something to be learned from it? So you don't
consciously. I think we definitely take lessons.
Yeah,
and the older we get, maybe the worse we get at this. I'm not sure because I don't know that learning a bunch of lessons is so great to bring into a new entrepreneurial enterprise. I think having a fresh, clean, youthful mind when looking at a problem is a real advantage. But I'll give you another example, maybe a more fun one than Q-Liance. Q-Liance is hugely important, but not quite as fun to talk about. Here's one that's actually really fun. It's my favorite one to talk about at cocktail parties. And this is a company we did together. It's an ex-Expedia founder, a guy I worked with, a guy named Tom Seary. He's the founder and CEO of a company here in town called Real Self. And Real Self is TripAdvisor for cosmetic procedures.
Now explain that, Tommy. I'm trying to get that concept straight in my head. TripAdvisor for cosmetic procedures. So if I want to get a nose job, how is this going to help me get a nose job?
Okay, right. So what it is it's millions of mainly women every month who come to the site and learn about procedures, be they breast augmentation, Botox, liposuction. Brazilian butt lift is the big mover right now, believe it or not. I guess there are a lot of people out there who are.
I'll have to believe it.
They're not just interested in their butts. They're interested in having a bigger butt, it turns out, and a more shapely butt. And there's people chuckling out there on the radio listening right now. But it's actually a very serious site, and it's a very helpful site that enables lots of people who have serious questions and serious concerns about what's going on with all these procedures and the people who are performing them. And it guides them through this process and helps educate them. It helps point out where the good things about it and the bad things about it. It's a terrifically successful little site.
How does it disrupt the way you would ordinarily go about getting cosmetic procedures?
Creative disruption may not be the right way. This is more shining bright lights into an information area that was very hard. It was kind of taboo to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to talk about Botox, at least 10 years ago, to talk about Botox at a party was not really socially acceptable. Now, as time progresses, each procedure becomes more socially acceptable. 10 years from now, we'll be able to talk about Brazilian butt lifts. That's the way this is happening.
We're talking about a lot right now.
Yeah, we are right now.
Nick, in a can hour, a failure that you learned from, or do you just repress them all?
No, I don't repress them all. So one of my favorite things in my office, is I display it prominently, is a Pets.com sock puppet. So you may recall that Pets.com in the heyday of the internet bubble was one of these companies that their idea was that you were going to buy all your pet supplies, including your dog food, online. It may be one of the stupidest ideas ever conceived by humans. But I invested.
And you put money in.
Yeah, I invested a huge amount of money in this thing, literally a month before it was going to go public, because somebody told me that because I was so fabulous and handsome and smart that I was going to get this great opportunity to do this. And within 60 days, I think it was $250,000 was worth like 50 cents. And of course, the company folded because there was no there. The idea of selling dog food on the internet is idiotic.
But you didn't think that when you put the money.
No, I did not. But I keep that sock puppet prominent place in my office to remind myself.
It cost you $250,000.
That's all I have.
So
literally.
It's the most valuable thing in your office.
This is like the most expensive stuffed animal in history. It sits in my office.
Lesson, there must be a there.
Yeah, there has to be a there. And even, one of the great lessons of being an entrepreneur is it's a two-sided lesson. The first is that you have to be incredibly comfortable being the only person in the room who agrees with you. That is to say, I give a presentation on this sometimes called It'll Never Fly Orville, mm-hmm. which is that all important things look insane to mm-hmm. lots of people. But just the other side of the coin is that there are many, many times when the herd is moving in a particular direction, and you have to have the presence of mind to say, this it does not matter what their sentiment is, this makes no sense, and go the other way.
You don't operate in a vacuum. You operate here in Washington State. And what do you see as being the strengths of being here in Washington State, and what do you see as some of the drawbacks of operating in Washington State? We have a new governor coming into place. We have a Supreme Court order saying the state's not fulfilling its paramount duty for education, another $1 billion there. So there's certainly a state regulatory environment and fiscal environment. How do you evaluate it, Rich?
Well, let's start with the business side, and then maybe we can chat about the political environment. I mean, they're intertwined, of course.
Yeah.
But from a business perspective, in what Nick and I do, creating technology-oriented startups, Seattle in particular, Washington State in general, is a fantastic place to be doing business and in creating companies. There are three key ingredients to a healthy tech startup ecosystem here. And the first is the University of Washington, and specifically the technology-oriented fields there. It is a fantastic university cranking out lots of great research and students. So we have a great educational center. Second and related, we have lots of talent. Tons of engineering talent and technical-oriented talent in town that dates back even well before Boeing and now right through Microsoft and Expedia and Amazon. So there are lots of very good people to hire here in Seattle. And the third is there's lots of money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And if you have these three, these are the three essential ingredients to create a wonderful startup cake. And Seattle is a scrumptious one.
Well, going to the government side, though, you mentioned the University of Washington, which has faced huge cutbacks in recent years. What's good? What's bad about operating here, Nick?
Well, I mean, I think it's a very business-friendly environment. I know that there are people who are continually complaining about it. I have no idea what they're talking about. I mean, I suppose if you wanted to build, a nuclear power plant, there would be or a giant coal-fired power plant, there would be a lot of resistance to that. But from the tech startup point of view, it's a breeze. And, I would add just one thing to what Rich said was that we have a culture which is incredibly supportive of the outside the box thinking and the risk taking necessary to do these things. Failures, despite what we said before, are celebrated. You're not ridiculed because you try something and it didn't work. Mm-hmm. It just happens, part of our business. And, I think it's really important.
We're already almost out of time, but I think, Rich, you tweeted that we might be able to talk about Burning Man. And I was thinking, well, that's a really interesting business plan. You get people to pay a whole lot of money to come to the desert and bring their own food and water and things and you have them put on the celebration and you make money off it. What were you thinking of? Have you been to Burning Man?
Yes. Nick and I went to Burning Man for the first time together 10 years ago.
Yeah.
With our wives. And
you've been every year since.
We've been every year since, and it's an important part of our lives.
Yeah.
Why?
It's an important part of our lives. Maybe I'll tie it to the disruption point and maybe the creative disruption point. And that is, it's a way to remove ourselves from the minutiae and administrative details of normal society, which include having to deal with all our responsibilities to our children, mm-hmm. to our parents, to our friends, to our companies. And we get to go out into this experimental, temporary, artistically oriented community in the middle of the desert with no connectivity. And we go for days at a time and indulge in all kinds of fantastic art consumption and music consumption. And we get to think big thoughts.
Yeah.
With a big open sky and a wide open desert, and it's an existential experience, and
right.
it gives us perspective.
Yeah, Burning Man is the most interesting creative thing on Earth.
Yes.
Super fun.
If you haven't been, don't be scared. You should go.
Rich Barton and Nick Hanauer, thanks so much for stopping by. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Ross.
From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.
Thanks for listening. The program you just heard was made possible by the financial support of our listeners. Support this program and others like it by making a pledge today at KUOW.org.